service. Open your Bibles tonight with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. I want to read to you by opening verse 4 down through verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 4 down through verse number 10. And tonight, the Lord has really laid this on my heart this evening. I want to speak to you on the thought of saying of God, watch out for the lion. Watch out for the lion. Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse number 4, and it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up. In other words, when they did lay hold on the man of God, when they did try to arrest him for preaching thus saith the Lord, the Bible says that their hands dried up. The man's hand dried up. It withered right there in front of him, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent. And that word rent means it was tore apart. The altar began to tear apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. He had stood up, he had preached the word of God, he had preached the truth, and because they didn't like it, they were trying to get rid of him. They're trying to knock him out of there, trying to arrest him. And exactly everything he preached against, everything he said was going to happen, it took place. Bible says again in verse 5, the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the signs which the men of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered, notice Jeroboam right here after he sees what takes place, and the king answered and said unto the men of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God. Notice, you know, that's where a sinner always is. After they get in trouble with God, then they want God's mercy, then they want God's grace. Oh, he was wanting God's mercy after he knew he had messed up. Amen. Bible says, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me. Notice, he wouldn't even try to pray for himself. He wanted somebody else to pray for him. That my hand may be restored to me again. The king's hand had restored him. Oh, he was wanting his own hand to be restored. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. You come to me, and you come to my house, and we'll have a big party tonight. You get all cleaned up, and I'll make it right with you. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Why like a man of God like that? He's not going to be bought and compromised, amen. He's not going to be bribed into preaching the word of God. He said, I'm not going to dare take place with your fellowship. You've already proven to me who you are and what you are. You've already proven to me you're not a saint of God. You've already proven to me that you're two-faced, you're a liar. You'll do anything you can to hurt me and stab me in the back. He says, I'm not coming home with you to fellowship with you. Verse 9 says, for so it was charged. Notice what this is what the man of God says to Jeroboam. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. God's already told me my direction. God's already told me what I should be doing right now. And I don't have time to go in fellowship with you. I've got a call by God to do a work of God. Verse 10 says, so he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. You know, just as in the story we're about to read, I do believe with all my heart there are legions of men of God. There are legions of saints of God, strong Christians that have started out, they started out on fire. They started out full of assurance and faithful to the word of God. They were spirit-filled servants of God. And yet for whatever reason, you know, they have bowed to the pressures of compromise for personal advantage. Amen. They've sat there and they've taken on the offer of Jeroboam. They've gone home with Jeroboam. But even though they know they shouldn't be in those worldly places, they know they shouldn't be doing those things that do not honor and glorify God, yet they go and they fellowship with worldly people. Amen. They go and they fellowship with people that have turned against the Lord, that do not fellowship with God Almighty. And sad to say, but a life that could have been counted for God was lost to the lion. You know, Scripture does say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And let me just say here, not for every Christian here this evening, I want to challenge you and I want to challenge myself. You know, I want to warn you to watch out for the lion, amen. I've got news for tonight. You might not realize this, but the devil is out to destroy you. The devil is out to defeat you in every way possible. And no matter how strong you may seem to be spiritually, no matter how godly or how righteous or how holy you might be, Satan is a roaring lion. He is out to devour you as a Christian. He is out to knock you out of your spiritual race. He's out to knock you out of your spiritual walk with God. You say, "But preacher, I've been walking with God for many years." I don't care how long you've been walking with God. The devil, he can knock you down. I don't care how holy or how righteous or how pure you may seem to be. The devil can put you away. Matter of fact, we find that story right here with this man of God. Notice in the story that God had given direct orders. He had given commands for the man of God. But because of pressures from the world, even the religious world, this man of God, he lost his spiritual power. He lost his testimony. Matter of fact, eventually he lost his life. You see, a life that could have counted was wasted and gone. And I do believe there are many saints of God tonight. They're on the verge of being devoured. They're on the verge of being consumed by the lion. There might be some saints of God sitting in this room that I don't know, but there might be some folks here tonight that, oh, you're saved, yes, and you're going to heaven, yes, and all those things are great and all those things are wonderful. But there might be somebody sitting in this room tonight, you're on the verge of losing your testimony. You're on the verge of losing your walk with God. You know why? Because the devil's out to defeat you. Folks, the devil's out to destroy you. And he'll do anything in his power to get a hold of you. He might work through your family. He might work through your friends. He might work through so-called Christians. He might work through those on your job. But I've got news for you. He knows how to defeat you. He knows how to get you down. And there are many Christians that they started out on fire for God. Oh, they started out faithful to the Lord, amen, and to the Word of God. But they've slowly allowed outside pressures to steal their joy. They've allowed outside pressures to rob their testimony. Are you in danger of bowing down tonight? Are you in danger of giving in and compromising to the sinful ways of the world? Be honest with yourself this evening. Are you about to loosen your convictions? Are you about to loosen your biblical standards to please your friends and please this world? I want you to notice with me from this story for a few moments some important truths to live by. And I want you to ask yourself, are you living by the truths that honor and glorify God, or are you in the same boat that this man right here is in? Oh, he was righteous and he was holy and he was a good fella. But notice some areas of things that hurt him in his walk. Notice number one, the father's frankness don't stop. The father's frankness don't stop. Well, let's continue reading here in verse 11 down through verse 16. Bible says in verse 11, "Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken to the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So saddled they him the ass, and they rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread." Now note this right here. Notice this prophet of God, this so-called Christian, this man that should be serving also on the side of the man of God. Notice he says, "I want you to come home with me. I want you to eat bread with me." And the Bible says in verse 16, "And he said, the man of God said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place." Now, by the way, notice here, it's nothing personal against the prophet of God. It's just that God Almighty himself told him not to do it, amen. It's not anything personal against that particular man, but the man of God said, "I've got direct orders by the Lord. And the Lord has already told me what path to go. And I'm not to turn to my left. I'm not to turn to my right. I'm not to eat bread over here, eat bread over there. You might want to be friendly to me. You want to be nice to me. But God has given me strict orders. And I'm to abide by those orders." There was a man of God who received direct orders from the Lord not to stop or alter his course for anybody. The Lord informed him that no matter what anybody else tells you, no matter what they say, whether it be a prophet, a priest, or a pauper, he says, "Don't stop. I've got a direct will for your life." And without a doubt, the Lord had a direct path for this man to take, and he must take it. And as surprising as it may seem to many people, but the Lord has a certain path and a certain direction for our life.
And the Bible says we are to follow him. You might not realize this or not, but God's got a path for your life tonight. He's got a direct wheel for your life. And God wants you to follow that path, no matter what anybody else tells you, no matter what anybody else says, God wants you to go down the path that God has for you. And if we stray to the left or stray to the right, oh, we might end up straying and going that way. We're not going to get God's blessing like we could have had if we just gone down the path God told us to go down. Amen. God's got a direct wheel for our life. I wonder this evening, are you walking the path that God's laid out for you? Or are you walking in your own direction? Are you going the way of your Christian life like you think it should go? But Tim, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven my way. I got news for you. You might be saved. You might be going to heaven. But you're not going to go to heaven your way. You're going to go to heaven God's way. Amen. There's only one way to heaven, and God wants you to go his way. And you might end up going to heaven because you're saved by grace through faith. But I believe there's going to be many saints of God who's going to lose rewards in heaven. You know why? Because they're doing it their way and not God's way. God's got rewards, amen. God's got crowns for everybody in this room tonight. And you can have crowns when you get to heaven. You can have rewards when you get to heaven. But if you do it your way and not God's way, you're not going to have those crowns. You're not going to have those rewards, amen. And notice that's exactly what this man of God right here was facing. Just remember, the word of God is unalterable. The way of God is unchangeable. And the will of God is undeniable. I find the Father's frankness. Don't stop. But also notice number two. Notice the forbidden fellowship. Don't suck. Notice what it says here in verse 17. Bible goes on to say, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord. Notice this man of God speaking. It was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Now notice that there was no hidden, concealed meaning to this message. There wasn't anything that was trying to manipulate or trying to stray away. God was very bold. God was very direct with the man of God. God simply forbade fellowship to eat, drink, or turn another way. You see, folks, the slightest concession calls for compromise, no matter how nice the prophet was, no matter how friendly the prophet was. You say, but Tim, that seemed like a pretty good Christian over there. I mean, they seem like everything's going good and everything's going right. But if God's told us not to fellowship with them, we shouldn't fellowship with them, amen. If God's told us not to sup with them, we shouldn't sup with them, amen. Notice right here, that's exactly what's going on in this text. Sad to say, but you know, there's many Christians, there are many churches tonight that have fellowship with people. They fellowship with denominations that they know is sin against God. And they say, well, they seem like a good person. Oh, they say they're a prophet of God. They say they're holy and righteous and good. Just because they say that doesn't mean they're righteous, amen. Just because they claim to be saved and claim to be Christians, if their word doesn't line up with God's word, they're not right, amen. I don't care how holy they might try to be. I don't care how good or godly or Christian they might look, amen. If they don't line up with the word of God, they don't line up, amen. I'm going to walk with those that line up with the scripture. I'm going to walk with those that line up with the word of God. Now, it might be few. It might be far between, amen, but I'm going to line up with those that line up with the word of God. And this church, and you as a Christian, we're in grave danger of the wrath of God if we join up in fellowship with false religions and false doctrine, amen. We are Baptists. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm Baptist. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, if you've never marked, you need to go over there sometime and mark that verse. Amos 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can I walk with somebody that doesn't agree with the word of God? Amen. How can I sit there in fellowship with somebody that doesn't believe salvation by grace through faith? Amen. When a man says that Jesus Christ is not God, I'm not going to walk with that man. Amen. When a man says that salvation is by works, and salvation is by just going to church, or salvation is by taking of the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, or baptism, that man's a heretic and the son of God. Amen. Amen. That man's lost. Now that might not be popular in our day and time. That might not be famous in our day and time, but that's the word of God, amen. Amen. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Matter of fact, take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 18. In the end times, we're going to be studying this in days to come, and weeks to come, in our study on prophecy. But in Revelation chapter 18, notice what it says here in verse 4. Notice right here, we find the apostate church in the end. And the apostate church, Bible says, and verse number 4, talking about the Catholic Church. Bible says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and that you be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not of her plagues. Notice right here that God's calling his children out of false religions, amen. He says, come out from her, amen. Don't sit there and partake of her. That's why I don't kiss the feet of a pope, amen. I bow down to the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, that might not be, again, that might not be popular. That might be something people might not like, but that's the word of God. There's only one mediator between God and man. That man is Jesus Christ, amen. I know the pope tries to say he's the mediator nowadays. That's why the Catholics go to that pope and pray to him. That's why the Catholics go to the priest and pray to him. There's no priest that's a mediator. There's no pope that's a mediator. My mediator is Jesus Christ. Come along, amen. I don't need Mary. I've got Jesus, amen. I don't need somebody else. I've got Jesus. Now, it'd be good for you to pray for me, but you're not my mediator. I've got my mediator, and he's the advocate, amen. He's the true and living one. He's Jesus Christ. I wonder this evening, do you know who I'm talking about? Do you know my Jesus, amen, is a song about tonight? Do we know who he is? Do we know what he's all about, amen? Notice right here, the Bible tells us in Revelation 18, verse 4, come out from her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Bible identifies her right here in chapter 17. Notice what he calls her there in chapter 17. Bible calls her the great whore. You know why? Spiritually speaking, she's going out and joining up with every religion in the world. And it talks about the whore there. It's not talking about physical, it's talking about spiritual. It's talking about going and joining up and partaking of every other religion. You know, let me just say that I'm Baptist, amen. I'm glad to say I'm Baptist. Let me just say this. Our Baptist forefathers, they were slaughtered because they refused to fellowship and sup with this evil I'm talking about. The Catholics, they sat there and slaughtered our Baptist forefathers many, many years ago because they would not bow down to the one world religion. They would not bow down to a false doctrine, a false truth, amen. Let me just say tonight, we need to make sure that we stand up for that which is holy, that which is right. And yet what bothers me tonight is Baptists today, they're mixing and mingling with crowds that are corrupt and perverted in their doctrine. God, help us to watch out for the lion and the snare of the devil. The devil's out to get us. Oh, he might make it look enticing. He might make it look pretty. But the devil's out to get us. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as I'm pastor of this church or any other church I'm a pastor, it's going to have Baptists on the sign, amen.
Amen.
I'm Baptist and proud of it. We've got fathers and forefathers that have died and shed their blood to give us the name Baptist, amen. I find here the forbidden fellowship don't sup. But also consider with me in this text in verse 18, notice the fondest friends don't stray. Jump back there with me again to 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18. Notice the Bible says there in verse 18, he said unto him, I'm a prophet. Also as thou art. Oh, I'm saved like you're saved. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Boy, that sounds like a lot of people nowadays I know, amen. Oh, they say, well, God spoke to me, and God told me this, and God told me that. Let me tell you something. God's not going to tell you one thing and tell me something else, amen.
Amen.
If it's truly of God, he's going to tell us all the same thing. And even though this so-called prophet claimed to walk and talk and look very religious, Bible says he was a liar. Bible says right here he was a hypocrite in the sight of God. I saw somebody post today on Facebook what a hypocrite was. A hypocrite that said is going out and doing things bad on a Saturday night, coming to church on Sunday and asking God to forgive him, going right back out on Monday and doing the same things again. Amen. You know, that's a good definition of a hypocrite. Or you claim to be trying to get right with God on Sunday, but you went out on Saturday and did evil, wicked things. You'll go back again on Monday and do evil, wicked things. But now today, you're supposedly holy. You're supposedly righteous. The Bible says that's a liar in the sight of God. Amen. You know, I know it's hard to grasp. But believe it or not, you know, best friends can cause you to stray. I mean, this guy was supposedly a prophet of God. This guy was supposedly good. Notice the Lord God, again, he's not going to tell you one thing and then tell them something else concerning you. If you're struggling with the decision to follow someone and it's not clear, let me just say this, don't you move, amen. The surest way you can be deceived is by a so-called friend. Take your Bible. You know, the Bible says here in verse 18 again. Notice what it said there again in verse 18. He says, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Now take your Bible and turn over to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, let me read to you what it says in verse 8 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 1. Remember what Paul wrote to the Galatian people?
The Galatian people was being deceived. They was identifying with a gospel that was perverted and not the will of God. Bible says in verse 6, Galatians 1 verse 6, I marvel, Paul says, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ into another gospel. Paul says, I can't believe that already you're starting to sit there and believe every other gospel, false gospel that comes your way. And Paul says, I marvel at that. Verse 7 says, which is not another, there is no other gospel, but there be some that trouble you. There'd be some that confuse you and perplex you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They would reverse it. They would turn around the gospel of Christ. And notice what Paul says in verse 8. Would to God, to the man of God back in 1 Kings 13 when he got a hold of this. Paul says, you listen to me, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And that word accursed literally means let him go to hell. That's strong text, amen. That's strong wording. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Paul says, if an angel comes to you and preach something else to you than what I've already set down right here, Paul says, let them die and go to hell because they're not of God. That's demons from hell. Bible says in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed. That means anathema in the original. That means let them die and burn in hell. Now again, that's a strong statement. That's what Paul's saying. I wonder this evening, who do we listen to? Do we listen to everybody that just comes along? Or do we listen to the man of God? No matter who he is, Bible says he's cursed by a holy God. I don't care how pretty he may be. I don't care how well he may sing. I don't care what kind of personality he may have. If he preaches something other than you than the Word of God, Bible says let him be accursed, amen. He's not the Lord. The fondest friends, I don't care about who the friend might be. You know, there's a lot of times our friends lead us the wrong way. Oh, they look good, and we say, well, pretend they're just trying it for my best. They might be trying it for your best, but if it's not God's way, it's not the right way, amen. But again, notice in our text, number 4, notice the faith that's false won't stand. The faith that's false won't stand. And notice here again in 1 Kings 13. Jump down with me to verse 19. 1 Kings 13, verse 19. Bible says, so we went back with him. The man of God broke down. Man of God went back with the prophet of God and did eat bread in his house and drank water. Now you say, but preacher, this seems to be so simple. You see, the thing is, when God tells you to do something, you do it. If you can't do the small things, God can't entrust you with the bigger things, amen. And it came to pass in verse 20, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. Notice, the very one that led the man of God astray is the one that pronounced judgment of God on him. You know, the saint of God here quickly realized that his false faith of the prophet had brought him to destruction. He put his trust in a man, and a man let him down. He wasn't listening to God anymore. He was listening to man. Let me just say this, folks. You better be careful who your friends are. And you better be careful who you take advice from, amen. Has a so-called friend in your life, have they destroyed your spiritual strength? Have they gave you advice and you followed that advice and now you realize, I messed up? Have they led you to say things or do things or believe things, and then later on you realize they were wrong? And now you're thinking, I sure wish I hadn't listened to them. I sure wish I hadn't used their advice in my life. Say, preacher, what's going on with me? There's a lion out there, and he's waiting to destroy you. There's a lion out there, and he's waiting to devour you. And he might look religious. He might look holy and pious, and he might act so godly and so pure. But the devil will do everything he can. The Bible says he'll dress up as an angel of light. He'll do everything in his power to lead you astray. Be careful at who you listen to.
Be careful of these so-called friends that say, well, I got a word from God about you. I'm going to tell you something. If it's not lined up with the Word of God itself, it's not about you, amen. I find here the faith that's false won't stand. I find the fondest friends don't stray. But also, again, I see right here, the finance that's faulty don't support it. Notice what it says in verse 23. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Now what's sad about this verse is that he partook of the meal knowing it was wrong. He supported. He partook of a situation knowing full well he was dead wrong in doing it. Yet, how many of us tonight, if we're honest, how many of us fall in that same trap trying not to offend somebody? Well, preacher, I don't want to offend them. I know what they're saying is not right. And I just want to be a friend to them. I want to try to help them out. I'm going to tell you something. Pick up yourself the Son of God. You better get away from them, man. I don't care how friendly they might try to be. I don't care how nice or good they might try to be. You say, well, brother Tim, I've known them all my life. If they're not telling you things of God, you better watch out with them, amen. Yeah. You better be careful of them because they will hurt you. They will knock you down, amen. Notice here, he partook of a situation he knew he shouldn't have done. And this verse right here, it reveals the fixed saddle for the fair rare wine, amen. He had gone too far. He couldn't turn back now. There was a fearful sight to see a great man ruined. I see the final supper brought a world of regret in this man's life. Oh, he partook of that fellowship. You know, sometimes we get out in this old world and we say, but Tim, but this little thing's not going to hurt me. Let me just go ahead and fellowship in this area. And I know I've known this friend all my life, and we've done all these things all my life. And, you know, it doesn't seem that bad, but if God's already said don't do it. So, but I know the Bible says don't do this, and the Bible says I shouldn't be doing this, but it's not going to hurt anything right now. And we might not see the damage now. We might not see the problems now, but I've got news for you. When you sin, you're going to have problems down the road. It's going to come back somewhere down the road. And if God says don't do it, then don't. Let's just trust God. You know, a lot of times my children grow up, and during their years of growing up, daddy's told them many times, don't do this. Don't do this at all. And, you know, they sit there, and many times they think they know what's right, so they don't go ahead, they don't do what they want to do. But then later on, they realize, well, I should have listened to daddy and mama. Because now down the road, they realize I didn't make the right decisions I should have made. You see, a lot of times, young people, they think they know what's best, and they think they know what's holy, and they don't know what they think they know, amen. But yet, when they get older, they realize, I made some mistakes. I messed up in my life. If they had just listened to direction, if they just listened to wise counsel. But you know, a lot of times we get that way as adults, don't we? We think we know what's best. And even though God tells us otherwise, even though the preacher preaches what he preaches, and even though the Sunday school teacher teaches what he or she teaches, we're going to do things our way no matter what. Brother Tim, I've known these people all my life, or Brother Tim, this doesn't seem that bad over here. And I know that we shouldn't be doing this, but this doesn't seem that bad. Well, it might not be bad to you right now, but somewhere down the road, it's going to come back to you, amen. And somewhere down the road, you're going to end up paying a price for sinning against God because you sinned and you knew you sinned, but you did it anyway, not even caring about sinning. And that in itself is wicked in itself, to know that you're doing something wrong and you don't worry about the consequences. That's a dangerous sight, amen. That's a dangerous way to live life. Notice right here, number 6, notice the foolish finish was downright sad. Bible says in verse 24, and when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it, the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. Note that. Who was it that was sitting there laughing and gloating and rejoicing over the death of the man of God? The one that told him to do it. The one that got him away from God to begin with. Verse 27, and he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury it. The Bible says in verse 30, and he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And even though the Son of God had given his life for the Lord in daily service, even though he had been faithful down through the years, his last days was downright sad. We see he was slain on the grounds of the enemy. You see, he was going in a way he shouldn't have been going in. God gave him a direction. God gave him a path to go in, but he didn't go that path. Notice his services on earth had ended. And notice there in verse 29 and 30, his sleeping body lies in another man's estate now. Notice he was buried in somebody else's grave. A life that could have counted more for the Lord was now wasted and now gone. You know, when we look upon our own life tonight, I wonder, are you in danger of the same end? Oh, you've worked hard for your testimony. You've worked hard to keep your life clean and holy and pure. But you know, folks, you can live as holy and clean as you want to live. You make one mistake at the end, and the Bible says it's all going to be ruined. It's all going to be destroyed. Notice right here, finally, notice the firm foundation. Don't shake it. The Bible says in verse 31, and it came to pass after he's buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre, where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against the house of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. Just make sure tonight that your testimony can't be destroyed by the wiles of the devil. Have a firm foundation that cannot be shaken. You say, Brother Tim, what's so important about this message? Remember, obedience is better than sacrifice. I wonder how much God could have used this man of God if he'd have just listened to him. He wouldn't have died when he died. He died a premature death. You know why? Because he wouldn't obey God. Remember Moses? You know why Moses died? You know why Moses didn't go into the promised land? Because Moses didn't obey God. Moses struck the rock the second time. And God told him, Moses, you speak to the rock. And because Moses struck the rock the second time, God says, Moses, you shall not see the promised land. Because you disobeyed me. You see, obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of folks are sacrificing things tonight. You know why? Because they're not obeying God. Obstacles are always surmountable. And the outcome will surely be satisfying if we just obey God. So, Son of God, I beg of you tonight, watch out for the lion. Oh, he's real. And there might be some in this room tonight that you don't even realize it. But you're on the verge of falling off that cliff. You have played with sin, and you're on the verge of falling off that cliff, falling off the side, and losing your testimony, losing your reputation, losing everything you've done for God. All because you're going to do it your way. Well, you go ahead, you do it your way. You live your life the way you want to live. And when it's all said and done, I got news for you. You'll still answer to God. As I talked about this morning in Sunday school, you'll stand before the judge, face to face, eyeball to eyeball. And nobody but you and God. Mom and dad won't be around. Brother or sister won't be around. Husband or wife won't be around. And you'll answer to God. And by the way, whether you listen to me or not tonight, whether you sat there and really paid attention to what I'm saying, you see, you'll answer for this service tonight. You'll answer for how you sat in that pew and listened to this sermon tonight. And you'll answer to God for this message. Because God's obviously he's warning you about something. But some folks hear it. Some folks cast it aside. Some folks put their attention on everything else going on in their life. And they don't get serious about God. I've got news for you. Whether you realize or not, whether you want to admit or not, we're going to answer tonight. We're going to answer for everything we've done today. Everything done in this church, everything done outside of this church, you're going to answer for it today. So I ask you, when it's all said and done, when you stand before God, how will you stand? You see, a lot of times people don't worry about it. They don't care. You know why? Because they don't fear God. They don't really think God's going to whip them. They don't really think God's going to do anything to them. They don't really fear a holy God. And you might get away today by the mercy of God. You might get away with it tomorrow by the grace of God, by His mercy. But I've got news for you. You won't run forever. Man of God here, I don't care how holy he thought he was. When he disobeyed God, oh, he went his way. God didn't strike him down at that meal when he was eating the meal, but when it came time for him to die, God took him. God's got a will for your life. God's got a plan for your life. Make sure you're doing it God's way and not your way. Let's bow in prayer.